kingdom of God. That's what Jesus taught. He was emphasizing the humility we need to learn from him. And we're going to turn back to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm just going to draw our attention to a few verses so you can check that what I'm saying is coming from Matthew's gospel. And we're going to be focusing on verses 5 to 10. I want to begin with a question though. What makes you afraid? What makes you afraid? There's a lot in life that can make us afraid, isn't there? We live in dark days of terrorism, of natural disasters. Maybe we fear death itself, or the illness that can lead to death. Or maybe we fear not being significant in our lives. Or we fear broken relationships. Or we fear that we won't keep going as Christians. We find it so hard sometimes. Well, this morning we'll see that Jesus, the living Lord Jesus, can overcome every fear. The biggest fear. See, what is remarkable in our passage is that hardened soldiers, a centurion in charge of 100 men, who probably prided himself and his fellow guards, prided themselves in their hard bravery, their lack of fear, were so terrified by the angel that they shook and passed out. They became like dead men. But then in verse 5 we read this. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." You see, the women had gone there early in the morning to, they weren't quite sure how they were going to get the tomb open. They were talking amongst themselves how they might get to Jesus' body. They wanted to put some spices and anoint Jesus' body. But as they arrived, there was the angel. And the soldiers are so afraid that they shake and pass out. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary are told by the angel, "Do not be afraid." Why? Why were they not to be afraid by the same being that caused these hardened soldiers to pass out? Well, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. See, the reason why they need not be afraid in the face of something that was terrifying was that they were looking for Jesus. They were disciples of Jesus. They'd come to know Jesus. And the angel says, that's why you shouldn't be afraid, Mary. The stone was removed so that they could see that the body had gone. They'd seen that a couple of days before where Jesus' body had been laid. If you just look over the page at chapter 27, verse 59. It's not over the page, it's at the top of the page, actually. Joseph took the body, that's Jesus' dead body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb. New tombs kind of stand out. If you go to the graveyard, you can see the new tombs. They're difficult to miss. That he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. So they'd seen the tomb where Jesus was laid. They hadn't confused the tombs. The tomb had been guarded by a Roman soldier and his team. And yet the stone, which is weighs tons, has been hurled out. And an angel reduces hardened men to wrecks. But he says to these two women, "Do not be afraid. You're looking for the one who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen." See, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ which overcomes all fear, even the fear of death, the fear of illness, the fear of loss. The body had not been stolen, it had gone, it had vanished. We know from John's witness, the best friend of Jesus, that the grave clothes were still there, the linen wrappings that were round Jesus' body, they just were there, as if the body had vanished into thin air. And it was at that moment that he believed that Jesus was raised from the dead, although he didn't understand that the whole Bible was talking about that. But then the angel says to the two Marys, "Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead," in verse 7, "and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the angel's job is done, message has been delivered, angel goes back to heaven. And so they hurry away from the tomb. Afraid, yet what? Filled with joy. Filled with joy. And they run to tell his disciples. Here is one who has defeated death. If he's defeated death, will he not overcome all fears? It's a lovely detail, isn't it? It's still sort of sinking in. They're still afraid, but filled with joy. And then suddenly, Jesus met them. He just appears. And he says, "Greetings." Sounds a bit formal, doesn't it? I wonder whether there's a little bit of a mistranslation going on here, because the word for greetings and rejoice is the same. Maybe he said, "Rejoice." He brings them joy, and they come to him and clasp his feet. They literally have his feet in their hands. They're touching him. It's him. And they worship him. He's God. No ghost, no apparition. Truly alive again, touching him, raised bodily. Just as in all the resurrection appearances. It's bodies that lift bread and break it. It's bodies that eat fish. It's bodies that you can hug. It's bodies that go fishing. It's bodies that cook breakfast over a fire. Jesus had a body. A body from the new world, the resurrection world. And then he says, verse 10, to these two women, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." And they did. Over 40 days they ate with him. Went fishing together. But it's easy to miss two words that are so precious in verse 10. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. My family. Jesus is alive. They worship him. His family has begun. Now, just as we close, if you're investigating the Christian faith, can I encourage you not to be afraid at considering that death can be defeated? Seems almost too good to be true, doesn't it? That death in your life could be defeated, that you could be given such hope and joy in the face of death and living in a world of death. It can be overcome. And can I encourage you not to fear all the things that you have done wrong, as if somehow they separate you from God in such a way that you are too fearful to even consider that he might forgive you totally, completely, forever. Because that's why Jesus came. He died on the cross to forgive us all our sins, to make us right with God, to give us eternal life. And that is safe if we receive what he's done. So can I encourage you not to be afraid of whatever you fear, because Jesus, the risen Jesus, can overcome your fears. I guess many of us here this morning are Christians, and maybe we are fearful that we are not good enough. Even though we know it's not about being good enough for God, it's Jesus being good enough for God and him taking the punishment that we deserve. But we fear that we might have blown it. Well, the disciples had blown it, hadn't they? At Jesus' hour of need, they'd gone to sleep. When Jesus was arrested, they said, "We'll go with you to death, Jesus," and they ran away. And now they're so frightened, they won't even go with the women to the tomb. And yet Jesus says, "Go and tell my brothers, my family." He's done all that is required for us to be eternally part of God's family, looking forward to not just life with Jesus on earth, as the disciples did, but life with Jesus in glory, eternally, forever and ever, ever. We may have blown it, but Jesus didn't blow it, did he? He did all that was necessary to make us and keep us in his family. So let our joy be renewed, and let's just, as we close, flip forward to page 1217. It's written by the Apostle Peter. We know how Peter let his master down, and yet he writes these words, page 1217, as we close. Because whatever fears we face in our lives as Christians, even in the darkness, he can bring joy. And this was Peter's experience, and it's the experience that we can all have as those who are followers of Jesus. So 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1217, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. That's a new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance, that's heaven, that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, God will get all who trust in his son Jesus. He will get us into a new life, a new birth, which takes us into a safe inheritance, which is shielded by God's power. We will be there with Jesus in glory. And that means now, we rejoice. A little later on he says, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, even in griefs and trials and fears, whatever they may be, because we love him. Even though we do not see him now, we believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So do not be afraid. Jesus is alive. He's alive today. He's even living in some of our hearts here this morning. And we know that joy, do we not? Don't we? We do. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you so much that you went to the cross in our place. We praise you and thank you so much that you appeared to those early disciples and commanded them not to be afraid. And through the angel and through your own words and your own presence, showed that you were alive. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you. Please fill our hearts with joy this morning, we pray. And every day, whatever we're frightened of or fearful of or whatever trials we're going through, may we know that joy that your Holy Spirit gives and that great security in what you've done for us. We praise you and thank you. Amen.
Well, don't believe everything you hear about Jesus, and don't be afraid.